Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, de-skunking your dog, and some tips on camping with a pet, and we'll hear about Tom the Comfort Cat. We'll start with camping with your pet, what you should know. For many of us, summer means spending more time in the great outdoors. If you are planning to bring your pets camping, make sure you've taken the necessary precautions to ensure they'll have fun, yet safe, or surrounded by nature. The ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, or APCC, has created a list of tips to keep you and your furry friends safe from potential dangers this summer. First aid first. Before embarking on any adventure, make sure you've prepared a pet-friendly first aid kit. Many campsites are remote and won't have quick access to veterinary care, so having a full-stocked first aid kit could prove to be a lifesaver. In a minute, we'll check out the full list of what your first aid kit should include, and please share this on social media if you can. For emergency situations, locate the closest emergency veterinarian and save the contact information, either in your phone or address book, for any serious emergencies. Also, be sure to keep the APCC's number on hand. If you believe your pet ingested something potentially harmful, you can reach the APCC at 888-426-4435. Next, prep your pet. Make sure your pets have proper identification tags on their collars. You may want to consider a reflective collar for nighttime. Don't forget to bring any medications your pet may need, and keep in mind that because of the close quarters during a camping trip, your pet may be more likely to get into things she shouldn't. Ensure that any prescriptions are in a child-proof container and locked away safely. Check for poisons. The APCC gets calls frequently from people whose pets have found rodenticides at campsites. And before taking out a camper or recreational vehicle, be sure to remove any rat poison, mothballs, or antifreeze in the toilets. Take pet-proof precautions. Upon arrival at any campsite, you'll want to first pet-proof the area. Before letting your pet out, thoroughly inspect the area to make sure other campers haven't left anything potentially dangerous behind. Also, ensure that there aren't any accessible areas where your pets could injure themselves, such as gopher holes or a nearby stream. Be sure to never let your pets roam unsupervised. And watch out for human snacks. Other well-meaning campers may accidentally treat your pet to a toxic food unknowingly. Make sure to keep a close eye on any snacks and reference our full list of people foods to avoid feeding your pet for more information. You can find the list on the ASPCA's website. And here is that list a pet first aid kit should contain. The phone number, clinic name, address of your veterinarian, as well as local veterinary emergency clinics. Liquid dishwashing detergent for bathing, absorbent gauze pads, adhesive tape, cotton balls or swabs, an ice pack, disposable gloves, scissors with a blunt end, tweezers, antibiotic ointment, towels, a small flashlight, fresh 3% hydrogen peroxide to induce vomiting. Always check with your vet or an animal poison control expert before using this. Also, alcohol wipes, styptic powder, saline eye solution, artificial tear gel, and oral syringe or a turkey baster. If you think your pet may have ingested a potentially poisonous substance, call 888-426-4435. So, one more outdoor hazard to be prepared for. Lily Fine on thedodo.com tells us what to do if your dog gets sprayed by a skunk. Here's when a rush to the vet and when a simple shampoo will do. Dogs are naturally curious. They love making new friends and want to give all creatures, large and small, a good sniff. Unfortunately, this curiosity can lead to smelly results if your pup happens to come across a skunk while roaming outside. The first thing pet owners typically think when their dog tracks that familiar odor into the house is, how do I get the skunk smell off my dog as fast as possible? However, if your dog has been sprayed by a skunk in close quarters, the unpleasant scent might be the least of your worries, warns Dr. Erica Lofton, a veterinarian at Dove Lewis Emergency Animal Hospital in Portland, Oregon. Skunk musk, when directed at the sensitive areas of a dog's body, can actually have some pretty serious health consequences. Skunk spray can be harmful if your dog is sprayed in the eyes or mouth, and you should seek veterinary treatment immediately, Lofton tells the Dodo. Skunk spray can damage the eyes and may cause temporary blindness. It can also cause vomiting if ingested. However, if your dog is sprayed anywhere else on the body, it's not harmful, just smelly. When a dog returns from his outdoors adventure smelling worse for wear, owners should first check their dog's eyes, look for redness, watering, and irritation. If it seems the dog has been sprayed in the face, rinse his eyes with cool water and head over to your emergency vet for further treatment. Skunk spray shares the same sulfurous compounds found in rotting flesh and bodily waste. So, banishing the smell quickly and completely is the next priority. There are quite a few myths for treating skunk smell, but not all of them pass the sniff test. So, what do vets recommend for banishing the odor? Here are a few proven remedies that will have your pup smelling fresh in no time. De-skunking shampoo. Skunk spray is essentially an oil, which can be hard to break down and wash off the skin and fur of a dog, Lofton says. To best remove skunk spray, Lofton recommends using a product specifically formulated for this purpose. Some of the old remedies like tomato juice or vinegar don't actually work that well. Your best bet is an over-the-counter skunk odor remover, Lofton says. So, if your area is known to have skunks, it might be a good idea to keep a bottle of the remover on hand. Dr. Rachel Barrick, a veterinarian at Animal Acupuncture in New York City, agrees that these rinses are usually a surefire way to get rid of the scent safely, as long as pet owners follow instructions, especially when applying the solution to their pup's face. You can typically get these items at your local pet supply store or specialty supermarket, Barrick tells the Dodo. Follow the bottle's directions. And always remember to keep any of these away from your dog's eyes. Hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and dishwashing soap. If you don't have time to run out to the store, another popular method for neutralizing the odor can be prepared at home using everyday products that you'd find in your kitchen and bathroom. The magic mixture is even endorsed by the Humane Society. You can use this mixture, 1 quart of hydrogen peroxide, 1/4 cup of baking soda, and 1 teaspoon of liquid dishwashing soap, Lofton suggests. Mix this together when you need it. Do not store it ahead of time, and wash your pet with this solution. As with any skunk treatment, dog owners should wear protective gloves in order to avoid getting the odor and chemicals on their hands. It's important to take precautions and check the strength of the hydrogen peroxide before making the mixture, as anything stronger than 3% hydrogen peroxide could be damaging to the dog's skin. Once the solution is prepared, carefully apply it to your pup and let chemistry work its magic. Do not get the peroxide in your pet's eyes or let your pet ingest the solution, Lofton warns. Rub the solution in and then rinse thoroughly. If the peroxide is left on the fur too long, it could bleach their coat. Follow that up by washing your dog with regular pet shampoo and rinse thoroughly. Once your pet is thoroughly rinsed, he should be squeaky clean and ready for a good towel dry. Tomato juice. In a pinch, pet owners can always turn to the age-old method of rinsing their pup with tomato juice. Unlike the skunk remover shampoo or the hydrogen peroxide mixture, tomato juice won't completely neutralize the stink, but it will temporarily mask the skunk musk, making things a bit more pleasant. Deskunking a dog can certainly be a tough feat, but an easy at-home method is tomato juice, Barrick says. You can add tomato juice, which you can purchase at your local supermarket, in with your dog's shampoo. Let the shampoo and lather sink in, wash, and possibly repeat, depending on the smell. Of course, tomato juice can also have the unpleasant side effect of turning a light-colored dog's fur temporarily pink. So keep that in mind before reaching for the bottle of V8. Never get sprayed again. 2. Protect your dog from further skunk confrontations. A few simple steps can make your property less appealing to those black and white critters. Your best bet is to keep skunks off your property by removing temptations, Lofton explains. Make sure they do not have access to garbage, pet food, or compost. Remove any wood piles or shrub piles that might make a good home for skunks, and block access to open areas under decks or behind sheds. Skunks are most active during dawn and dusk, notes Lofton. So it's best to reduce walks in the woods during those times. Unless, of course, you're looking for a stinky surprise. Next. From cattime.com, my cat is lonely but hates other cats. This is written by Maggie Clancy, and she writes, my sister recently came to me with an interesting predicament. Her cat, Kiko, seemed lonely, she said. My sister has tried to introduce her cat to other cats in the past, my shy calico Pookie included, and things did not go well. Kiko is highly territorial and hisses at other cats and keeps her distance, a lot of distance. If forced into a more contained area, Kiko will assert dominance, hiss, and cry until the other cat is removed, or vice versa. And yet my sister tells me Kiko seems bored and lonely by herself. She'll sometimes get into minor destructive habits like knocking little knickknacks off the dresser or cry at my sister when she's not giving her 100% of her attention. So what is a person to do when their cat would definitely benefit from some social interaction but is hell-bent on being a rebel loner? Here are a few tips to help slowly but safely introduce your lonely cat to the idea of socialization and other boredom busters. First, start small. If your cat seems restless and lonely but territorial, running out and adopting a second cat on a whim would only add to the issue, not solve it. If your cat is very territorial, start introducing the idea of sharing his domain with another animal very slowly. Start by bringing in blankets and toys that have the scents of potential future playmates on them. Introduce your cat to these objects in a positive way, to start making the association that foreign animals aren't all that scary. Next, keep initial play dates short and sweet. For introducing your kitty to the smell of a new cat, such as a friend's, have the cats meet in as neutral of an area as possible in your home, like the living room. Give the cats a short amount of time to test the waters. If they seem to get along perfectly fine, allow the play date to continue. Chances are, however, if your cat is territorial, they will not be okay with a new cat being in their space for long. If you sense your cat is getting anxious or territorial, end the playdate. If you're thinking about permanently adding another cat to your home, be sure to check out our tips on how to make the transition as smooth as possible. And you can find the link to that on the Cat Time website. Again, it is not a race to get this new cat into your home. Give your original cat and your new cat as much time and space as they need to grow fond of each other. Give your cat a view and invite some friends. If you're having cat play dates or getting another cat is absolutely out of the question, there is a way to invite other playmates over. Indoor cats benefit greatly from having a view of the outside world, whether that is a window perch or on a cozy bed near the sliding glass door to the backyard. Set up a bird feeder that is in direct view of your cat's window perch. Seeing the birds will be extra stimulating for an indoor cat. However, be sure your cat cannot accidentally open the window if she gets too excited by the birds. Reintroduce favorite toys. Most cats have a few favorite toys they gravitate towards. Just like humans, cats can overplay with these toys and grow bored with them. If you find your cat acting restless, try hiding some of her favorite toys for a couple of weeks. Reintroducing these toys will be exciting and fun for your perma-bored cat. And try introducing your cat to dogs. Here's the funny thing about Kiko. She loves dogs. Even though my sister has tried to introduce her to other cats to socialize with, it is with dogs that Kiko seems to have the best time. She loves to bat at them from a high vantage point and will even cuddle pretty close to them, if the dog allows. If some cats may enjoy hanging out with other species other than their own. Dogs can be a nice option as playmates for territorial cats who have a difficult time with other felines. Just like when you are introducing another cat, be sure to introduce a pup to your cat at a pace that is comfortable for both animals involved. You could read more about this at cattime.com. From today.com, Tom the Comfort Cat. You might have heard of comfort dogs. Here's a true story about a comfort cat. In the news from today.com, Tom the Cat has sixth sense in comforting ailing veterans. Stephanie Stevens reports, you may know about Tom Cats, but meet Tom the Cat, who has a very special gift indeed. He's the appointed feline friend, counselor, and caretaker at Salem VA Medical Center in Salem, Virginia. There, he is revered as an animal who may sometimes know more about empathy in the moment than his humans, who love him just for being Tom. The love fest goes both ways as Tom returns affection in kind to the resident veterans of the hospital's community living center that provides rehabilitation, hospice palliative care, and long-term skilled nursing. You can't beat a good, purring, loving kitty cat, Army veteran James Gerhardt of Bassett, Virginia, told Today. He lived in the rehabilitation unit while being treated for throat cancer and says he's doing well after being recently discharged. Tom knows when someone is having a hard time. He laid on my bed a lot, and I rubbed and scratched him the way cats like, Gerhardt said. One day I gave him some of my Ensure vanilla drink, and he drank every bit of it. Then he rubbed on me and licked my hands. The hospital's chief of extended care service, Dr. Blake Lipskin, told Today that Tom stood by him one day when he had to officially pronounce a veteran dead. Tom looked up at me and meowed. He had been with the veteran and his family at a time that was hardest for them, doing exactly what we wanted him to do, to help make a more low-stress, home-like environment. In 2012, Dottie Rizzo, chief nurse in the hospital's extended care service, along with physician assistant Laura Hart, read a book called Making Rounds with Oscar by Dr. David Dosa, a geriatrician. In it, the doctor documents the story of a cat named Oscar, who comforts dementia patients and appears to anticipate when they're about to die. We knew we needed a cat just like that, Rizzo told Today. We enlisted the assistance of local veterinarian's office, who went to a shelter and visited with the cats for a long time before deciding on Tom. Both the staff and the cat know that not everyone likes cats, including patients, their families, and yes, even hospital staff. We have a sign that says No Cat Zone, which indicates to non-cat lovers that Tom won't be in that area, Hart told Today. There are patients who say they don't love him, but they do end up loving him anyway. They just don't know it, she said. Then there are families that say they're allergic, Rizzo said. Within a week, they're bringing a treat for the cat. We have more than 1,000 employees, and some come on their breaks to bring Tom food and just pet him. Recently, he told off an overnight supervisor who forgot to bring his treats. She remembers in particular a terminal patient with Parkinson's disease who couldn't speak very well. With Tom in his lap, it was less difficult for him to talk because rubbing the cat calmed him down and relaxed his vocal cords, she said. Tom knows his turf, and he's very territorial, Hart added, and dogs aren't exempt. One day, a very large mastiff came into the hospital as part of the pet therapy program, and Tom jumped on the canine's back. After that dog refused to come back, the dog refused to come back unless Tom was secured in his room, she said. The insightful feline thinks he's really a person, Hart said. When we hold team meetings, we shut the door for privacy. He meows so much, we let him in. He also likes to ride on the surface carts we use to make rounds. And because you're wondering, yes, Tom has a litter box, and it's always very clean, thanks to dedicated employees who wouldn't have it any other way, she said. Rizzo shared the poignant story of a veteran's daughter who did not like cats. She shut the door when Tom was around, and even though her dad really liked him, she said, one day she stepped out of her father's room for a few minutes, and Tom went in, said Rizzo. Then the cat came out and went to get her, meowing at her until she returned to her father's room. Minutes later, her father died. The daughter was convinced that Tom made sure she was with her father when he passed. Being so in tune with what some would call the supernatural or paranormal is not always easy for Tom. After he's been with someone who died, he needs to be by himself for a while. It's tough on us because everyone is looking for him. We love him, Hart said. When Sharon Herndon's father died at the center, Tom filled a special place in her family's heart. The experience motivated the Roanoke, Virginia woman to write a book in 2014, which she called Tom the Angel Cat. In it, she wrote that Tom is the final salute to a job well done. And that is the story of Tom the Comfort Cat. In the news, on June 30th, 2017, the ASPCA reported kittens take over New York City Hall for adoption event. Feisty felines took over New York City yesterday afternoon for the city's first ever Kitty Hall, a special kitten and cat adoption event in celebration of Adopt-A-Shelter Cat Month. 10 adorable kittens and cats from the ASPCA were on site and available for adoption. During the June 29th event, which was co-hosted by the ASPCA, Animal Care Centers of New York City, or ACC, the Mayor's Office, New York City Emergency Management, and the New York City Department of Health. Attendees who weren't cuddling kittens were encouraged to speak with staff to learn more about cat fostering opportunities and other ways to volunteer. June is the height of kitten season, the time of year when we see an increase in feline breeding. Many kittens are born to community cats during the summer months, and shelters often become flooded with homeless and newborn kittens during this time. To manage the influx of kitties, the ASPCA opened the city's first high-volume neonatal facility, dedicated solely to the care of newborn kittens. And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has made efforts to expand and modernize the city's shelters. The partnership shown at Kitty Hall really illustrates the wonderful relationship that exists between ACC, the ASPCA, and the City of New York, said Michelle Villagomez, the ASPCA's Senior Director of Legislation for New York City. The mayor's office brought us all together to share the message of how important adoption is not only now at the height of kitten season, but throughout the year. By the end of the afternoon, 3 cats and kittens had found new homes, with more to come as 12 additional people filled out applications for adoption. We want to thank all of our New York City supporters who were able to join us. And maybe you were wondering, why does a cat need to scratch? Cat Time explains. Scratching for cats is a very natural instinctual behavior that serves several important purposes. Cats scratch in order to mark territory with their kitty scent and shed old cuticle tissue from their claws. The more obvious function of a cat's claws is for defense. Your cat's four paws contain the necessary weapons she needs to protect herself when attacked. Many people opt to declaw their cats because the animals are inside cats. They would never, ever let their beloved kitty outside to fend for himself. But even inside cats can slip past your ankles when you're paying the pizza guy and dart off. Your inside cat may one day have to protect himself from some very formidable outdoor predators. Coyotes, raccoons, dogs, and other cats can be real threats to any feline, and a cat with no claws is a much easier target. Scratching just plain feels good for cats. According to the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, when a cat extends her claws, she is stretching the muscles in her limbs and back, a motion that is therapeutic and relaxing for the kitty. The bottom line, a cat scratches because it is enjoyable. The first thing that you should keep in mind is your cat is always going to want to scratch. Your goal then should be to redirect your kitty's behavior to something more acceptable than your favorite chair to scratch on. As an aside, I have two items in my home that my cat, Daisy, knows she is allowed to scratch on. She makes good use of them and pretty much leaves everything else alone. You can read more about this and other cat-related items at cattime.com. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.